Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shalom, my dear brothers and sisters. Thank you for the privilege that we have to study the Word of God together. We are finding ourselves now in the study of the Gospel of John, Yohanan, and we are now in the sixth chapter in this ministry meeting. And I would like you please to open your Bibles to John, to Yohanan chapter 6. And I would like to read the first 21 verses of this sixth chapter of the Gospel of John. This is also, beloved brothers and sisters, a very important chapter, because in this chapter we learn from what the Lord is showing to us through the Apostle John, how the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, was feeding the multitudes, meeting the needs of those in the land of Israel that followed after him. But at the same time, we learn the importance of that which the Gospel of John emphasized before us. John emphasizes the divine nature of the Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah. He is the eternal Word. He is the creator of the universe. He is the upholder of all things. He is the one that became flesh and dwelt among us, as John 1:14 tells us, and for the reason, for the express purpose, that he will provide salvation for us all who have sinned. And so in John chapter 6, we continue to read after Yeshua finished his time in the city of Yerushalayim, and now he is moving along to the Galil once again. And so we read in verse 1, John 6, 1, after these things, Yeshua, Jesus, went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Yeshua then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. He saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 of pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the man sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the man sat down in number above 5,000. And Yeshua took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remain over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men which they had seen the miracle that Yeshua did said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." And Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into the mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea towards Kfar Nahum, and it was now dark, and Yeshua was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Yeshua walking on the sea, and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he said unto them, "It is I, be not afraid." Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, this is the first 21 verses of this long chapter of John chapter 6, 71 verses we have here in this sixth chapter. And of course, to remind you that the chapters and the verses are divided by man, are not spiritually or been provided or divided by the Holy Spirit of God. It's just to make it easy for us to understand and to take a passage. Sometimes the divisions are not in the best place where it should have been, but nevertheless, we are so thankful that we can study the Word of God. And therefore, today, in this sixth chapter, we want to emphasize two things. In the first 14 verses, we learn how our Lord, Yeshua, the Messiah, when he was here on earth, he fed a multitude of those in the land of Israel who came to a point of being hungry because they came from far and wide, the land of Israel, to go to see this amazing person known as Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, who was recognized by others as the Messiah. The word for multitude in Hebrew is am, rav am min nation, rav min many. Many of the am, many of the nation who came to follow the Lord to see who he was. And some of them, of course, became believers. Some of them did not become believers, just came because of the signs and the wonders which he had made. But nevertheless, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, came for this express purpose that he might save sinners, to bring people to himself. And whoever have heard of him had to make a decision and to recognize that he was indeed that Redeemer, the Goel, the Redeemer that was promised by the prophets of Israel years before he even came to this world. Well, in the first 14 verses, he will feed this multitude. And in the verses 15 to 21, he will then depart from the multitude, from the Am, from the Hamon Ha'am, from the many of the people from the land of Israel. And then he will ultimately go to the mountain to be alone. And finally, he will be received into a ship where the disciples were in the middle of the night. And therefore, these two thoughts I would like to share with you here in this session. Now, the first four verses present before us some interesting lessons. First of all, in verses 1 to verse 7, we immediately begin with the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, now moving along into over the Sea of Galilee unto the other side. To remind you, beloved brothers and sisters, that in chapter 5, he have cured the man that had infirmity for 38 years. He had a conflict with the spiritual leaders of Israel concerning his doing this miracle, this sign on a Shabbat day. And thirdly, he claimed, Yeshua claimed to be equal with God the Father. That's what we learn in chapter 5 and verses 19 to 47. You remember that we have seen that conflict, that controversy between him and the spiritual leaders of Israel, but definitely we could see that he claimed to be equal with God the Father. Well, he said in verse 36 of chapter 5, I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. You see, he claimed that God, the Father, Elohim HaAbba, sent him to this world in order to accomplish the work of redemption. And that's why he said in verse 39 of chapter 5, search the scripture. You are searching the scripture, for in them ye think that you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And so as you search the scripture from Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, he is promised to be the seed of the woman, the seed of Abraham, the seed of Isaac, the seed of Jacob, the seed of Judah, the seed of David. He is the seed of the woman who came to this world for this express purpose to become the Mashiach, the anointed one who will pay for the sin of Israel and for the sin of the whole nations of the world. So now he leaves this conflict, you might say, and continue now towards to the Sea of Galilee. So in verse 1, after the event of chapter 5, Yeshua now traveled to the Galil. That's in the north of Israel. And you notice it says in verse 1, he said that Yeshua went over the Sea of Galilee. Notice the word sea is mentioned, Yam HaGalil. Really, it is a lake. It's not necessarily a sea, but it's called in Scripture the Sea of Galilee. You notice we have two names here. Immediately after, in the same verse, he says, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And this name, Tveria in Hebrew, Tiberias, was given to this sea in honor of Tiberius Caesar. In other words, the Caesar, the Caesar of Rome, received the name of this lake, of this sea, in honor to Tiberius Caesar. But, beloved friend, it's actually called in Hebrew Kinneret, as is mentioned in Numbers chapter 34 and verse 11, it says, and the coast shall go down from Shifam to Ribla on the east side of Ain, and the borders shall descend and shall reach unto the side of the Sea of Kinneret. In Numbers chapter 34, when God was dividing to Israel and give them the instruction in preparation from taking over the land of Canaan, he gave them the borders of the land of Canaan that will be allotted unto the people of Israel. In fact, it says in Numbers chapter 34 and verse 1 and 2, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye come into the land of Canaan, this is the land that shall befall unto you for an inheritance, even the land of Canaan with the coasts thereof. He gave them southern border, verses 3, 4, and 5. He gave them the western border, verse 6. He gave them the northern border in verses 7, 8, and 9. And then in verses 10, 11, and 12, he gave them the eastern border of Canaan that was allotted to the people of Israel. And there he mentioned and it shall reach over unto the side of the Sea of Kinneret. And the reason that it is called Kinneret, it comes from the shape of a kinnor in Hebrew, a violin, and that Sea of Galilee, that Sea of Tveria, Tiberias, is called also Kinneret because of the shape of it. It has a shape of a violin, and it actually not a sea, not yam, but lake, agam. It is the lake of Kinneret, the lake of Galilee, the lake of Tiberias. Well, we are seeing the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is passing, went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, from one side to another. And you notice, it says immediately in verse 2, that multitude followed after him because of the miracles. Multitude. Many followed him. Why? Because they saw the miracles which he had did on them that were diseased. You see, we don't read all the miracles that he did in this Gospel of John. But John gave us 8 miracles, or 8 signs, more correctly, otot, signs that the Lord have done. And these signs begin, of course, in chapter 2, the first sign, when Yeshua have turned the water into wine. And so the multitude have seen the many signs that he had made, and naturally, they followed after him. Well, he was like a miracle worker. He have healed many which were sick. We just saw in chapter 5, in the study of chapter 5, that man that was with infirmity for 38 years, Yeshua told him, "Rise up, take up thy bed, and walk." And indeed, immediately the man was made whole. No delay. And so we see the signs that Yeshua have made, and multitude follow after him. Now, of course, my dear friends, if the Messiah would come today, many would follow by virtue of the fact that he have done miracles. Who can raise the dead? Who can heal the sick? Who can give a sight to the blind? Who can give hearing to the deaf? Who can make the lame walk? Only the Messiah. But he shows us that he is more than just another ordinary man, just a miracle worker, but that he is actually a divine person. And that's the lesson that we want to learn as we study the Gospel of Yohanan, this Gospel of John. Because John again, once and again, emphasizes the fact that Yeshua Jesus is God the Son. And the reason that he came down to this world is in order to save sinners to die on that cross. It says in verse 30 and 31 of John chapter 20, it says, "Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, number one. Secondly, that he is the Son of God. Thirdly, that believing ye might have life through his name." And therefore, it is important not only to seek for him as a miracle worker and to fix some problems that we have here in our life, but the greatest problem that we have, my dear friend, is that we need someone to pay for the sin that we have committed, the sin nature and the many, many sins that we have committed. And therefore, to follow him only because of miracles, while it is attractive, yet it's not sufficient. But here we go, we have in verse 2, the multitude followed him because of the miracles that he did. And when they saw those miracles, they follow after him. So now the Lord, what does he do? As they followed after him, he went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. He take his disciples close to him, and he, if you just visualize, if the Lord will allow you to visit the beautiful land of Israel, and to be there in the northern part, in the Galil, to see the beautiful Kinneret, the Sea of Galilee, and all surrounding mountains, high hills surrounding that beautiful lake of Kinneret. There you have some hills all around, and the Lord going to one of these mountains, and he gathered his disciples to be with him. These disciples, the Talmidim, they were followers of him. They were learners. And they wanted to be fed, and he wanted to instruct them. The Lord Jesus, the Messiah, was such a teacher and an instructor. He instructed these disciples. He encouraged them. He taught them. He revealed himself to them. He is the one that wanted them to understand the reason that he came to this world. You remember this same John who gave us this Gospel of John by divine inspiration? He said concerning Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, in his first epistle, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Notice that John was overwhelmed. He was one of these disciples that Yeshua gathered them around him on that mountain in John chapter 6 and verse 3. And then, beloved friend, as he was gathering his disciples and he was instructing them and ministering to them and giving them the opportunity to rest after the travel that they have gone through to get to the Galilee, here in the next verses we see that Passover, Pesach in Hebrew, was nigh. This is the feast that God had given to the people of Israel when he delivered our forefathers from bondage and brought them into the promised land. And so the Passover was a yearly feast to be kept by the Jewish people throughout their generation. So the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was nigh. Now, to remind you, it is the feast that God gave to the Jews. It was God's feast, as we read in Leviticus chapter 23. These are my feasts. He gave it to his people, the Jewish people, and he wanted them to learn and to keep this feast until the Messiah will come, who will be the Passover lamb. Well, here we see, beloved, brothers and sisters, how once and again this feast is mentioning in the Gospel of John. In fact, the feast of Passover was mentioned already in chapter 2 and verse 13, where we read there, it said, "And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Yeshua went up to Jerusalem." This is the first time we have the feast of Passover mentioned in the Gospel of John. In the previous chapter, in chapter 5 and verse 1, after there was a feast of the Jews and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, it may have been the feast of Pesach, Passover, but it may have been the feast of Pentecost or any other feast that may have been. But again, we mention another feast in the Gospel of John. And here once again, we see the feast of Passover was nigh, the feast of the Jewish people. In chapter 11 and verse 55, we will read once again, "And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves." So it seemed to be that in these three and a half years of Yeshua's ministry, three times we find Pesach, Passover, the Feast of Redemption. And of course, when Israel was not in a right spiritual state, that feast became not necessarily anymore the feast of the Lord, but the feast of the Jewish people. And that is where the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, wanted to warn his people Israel to have the Lord's mind as they gather together in those seven feasts that the Lord had given to his people to keep and to observe. Well, we find here that the feast of the Passover was at hand, and that tells us that it was a springtime, because on the 14th day of the month of Nisan, this is a springtime where Pesach is being kept yearly by our people of Israel. Well, we read in verse 5, now that when Jesus have lifted up his eyes, he is sitting with his disciples upon one of these mountains there above the Sea of Galilee, teaching his disciples, and he's lifting up his eyes, and what does he see? He see great multitude come unto him. You can see, you can just imagine that wherever he have gone, Yeshua really did not have rest. Everybody followed after him. Everybody sought help from him. Everybody saw that he could do miracle, could meet the needs, and so they came unto him. Now, in one way, we can see that the people only came to him because of the miracles, but there were others who have believed on him and recognized that he was the Messiah indeed. And so we read in these verses, Yeshua, now it's very interesting, because in verse 6 and verse 7, Yeshua is asking Philip, one of his disciples, and you know what he said to him? When Jesus lifted up his eyes, verse 5, and he saw the great multitude come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And here it is in verse 6 and 7, where you can see that he actually wanted to see whether the disciples will understand that he is the one that is able to meet the need of the multitude. And so, in verses 6 and 7, we can see that there were various solutions that could have been answered to the request of the Lord. Various solutions to meet the need of the people who came to the Messiah, Yeshua. And so we read in verse 6 that this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. He wanted to test Philip. You know, sometimes, my dear brothers and sisters, the Lord tests us. He tests us because he wants to develop in our life spiritual growth. The Lord is not testing his people like Satan tests people in order to cause men to stumble. Every time when Yeshua tested men, he always tests men in view of men growing spiritually. You remember when God tests Abraham in Genesis chapter 22, when Abraham was to go to offer his son Yitzchak. But God did not want Yitzchak. God wanted the heart of Abraham. Just the same like God, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, want the heart of Philip and the other disciple. And when God is testing you or I in our life, God wants our hearts. And this is the challenge that we always seem to have in our life, is God wanted to draw our hearts to himself, because he loves us, he cares for us, and he always wants the benefit of his people. This is so precious to know that God does care and he wants the heart of his people. And here is Yeshua testing here the Philip. You know, it reminds me of what Shlomo told us in the book of Proverbs, where he was speaking to the nation of Israel, and God wanted the heart of the people of Israel for himself. And you remember what we read in Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. Verse 5. Then verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. This is exactly what we learn in the book of Proverbs. God wants to instruct his people and that his people will give him their heart. And so he's testing Philip and he's saying to him, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And so you notice now, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friend, notice in verse 7, we find out that Philip in verse 7 answered and said, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them that every one of them may take a little bit. In other words, they had 200 pennyworth of money that they could buy bread, but he says they were not enough to meet the need of this multitude that follow after Yeshua, that came all over from the land of Israel to the Galil, to the mountain, by the Kinneret, by the Sea of Galilee, searching for the Lord, seeking that he will meet their need. And we read, as we continue here, then one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, verse 8, says unto him, notice what Andrew, he says, there is a boy, here which have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? Interesting, beloved brothers and sisters, that Andrew, once again, he direct and he bring people to the Lord. In chapter 1 and verse 40, we read, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. In verse 41, he findeth his own brother Simon, and he says unto him, we have found the Mashiach, which is by interpretation the Christ, the Christos. We have found the Mashiach, the Messiah. He is the one, here he is. And he brought Shimon Petros, his own brother, to Yeshua. Well, here he does it again. He said, there is a lad which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And what are these among so many? But then he bring that lad, he bring that boy to the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Now imagine, my dear friends, what a lesson we learn from Andrew. We learn a great lesson that we can bring people to Yeshua and let the Lord Yeshua Jesus the Messiah work in their own hearts. Our responsibility is just to present the Messiah Jesus before others. And it is God, the Holy Spirit, that will open their hearts and will reveal to them who the Lord Jesus the Messiah is. And Andrew have done this ministry throughout his life. Imagine how wonderful it will be for us to learn this lesson from Andrew and to bring people to Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. We can do so in so many ways, by speaking with them, by showing our kindness, by showing our love. The love of the Messiah constrains us, by helping, by every manner, many ways to share and to encourage and lead others to the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, like Andrew did. And so notice, there is a boy here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many? This is exactly what we read of what Philip said, because Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth, this is in verse 7, of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. So even though Philip says, here is the way, we have certain amount of money, but it's not enough to feed all of them, Andrew said, there is a boy which have 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but it's not enough to meet so many of these people. But again, you could see how Yeshua is testing his own disciples. We did read in this verse 6, and this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. You know, the Lord Jesus knows all things. He knows what he would do. He knows how he's going to meet the needs. Beloved friends, the Lord knows all things. He knows how to meet the needs that exist today in the days of old, in Israel's day when he was here on earth, and now in our time he knows how to meet each need. Wherever you are, whatever your circumstances and my circumstances are today, Yeshua knows, he knows what he would do in every circumstance in our life. For us, it may be such a huge problem, but for him, he who knows all things, he is the one that is able to meet all things. I often refer ourselves back to the beginning of the Gospel of John. John 1 verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made which was made. In him was life, chayim, and the life, and the chayim was the light, the or, the light of man. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Amazing. This is the one that knew what he would do, but yet he's testing his own followers, as he will test you and I again and again in our journey here upon the face of this earth. God have done so in the history of our forefathers, the people of Israel. He tested the people of Israel during the wilderness journey from Sinai to the Canaan, to Canaan, from Egypt all the way through the desert, all to the land of Canaan. God did test the people of Israel, and he wanted them to trust in him and to recognize that he is the one that will take care of his own people. That's why he reminded the people of Israel when he said to them in Deuteronomy chapter 8, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep his commandments, the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. This is Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. He said in verse 18 of Deuteronomy 8, he said, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And so God desire, the Lord Yeshua Jesus desire, that his own disciples will learn from him and trust him. And so at time he will allow his people to be tested in one way or another. And so here there is a boy that had only 5 barley loaves. This is poor people food, bread, and 2 small fish. That's it. Here's a boy that is there available to give what he has for Yeshua to use for the blessing of the multitude. And so, you know, I'm reminded as I'm thinking about these boys, my dear friend, you know, in the biblical history, there are 3 boys that we find in Scripture which really depict the need of us all. There is a boy who had a fall, and there is a boy that had a call, and here we have a boy that gave his all. These 3 boys in the land of Israel, the first one, this boy that had a fall, his name was Mephibosheth, found in 2 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 4. You remember this boy that had a fall is because his nurse carried him and he fell from his nurse's hands. And we read of him in 2 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 4. Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel,
And his nurse took him up, and she fled. And it came to pass that she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And notice what it says, his name was Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth in Hebrew. And so this is a boy that had a fall, and this is a representation, beloved friend, of all humanity. We all fell into sin. The name Mephibosheth means in Hebrew, breathing shame. All of us are sinners by nature, and from the boy that have a fall, we can see the whole human race and its condition. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Breathing shame, Mephibosheth, dishonoring God because of our sin nature. But God loves us, and God wants to bring men to himself. He loved the world, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And therefore, we learn that in spite of the fact that all human race had a fall, like Mephibosheth, yet God is calling us to himself. And in the second boy found in 1 Samuel chapter 3, we learn of a second boy by the name of Shmuel. Samuel is a boy that had a call. In 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 4, the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." He called him again in verse 8 of 1 Samuel chapter 3, and the Lord called Samuel again, and we read, he said, "Here am I." And then in verse 10, we read again, and the Lord came and he stood and he called as other times, "Samuel, Samuel, Shmuel, Shmuel." And Shmuel answered and he said, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And so here we have in the second boy, Shmuel, Samuel, a boy that had a call. And God is calling you, God is calling me, God have called us unto salvation, to come to live for him and to serve him. Have you responded to the call of God? He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your soul." My dear friend, this is the boy that has a call. You and I have the call from God to come and to receive the gift of salvation and to become a servant of the Lord. But here in John chapter 6 and verse 9, there is a boy here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. And with this boy, whose name is not even mentioned, we learn of the third boy, a boy that gave his all. And you can see, beloved friends, how the Lord Yeshua Jesus can use this boy's lunch to meet the need of multitude of people. As it was in the days of old in the land of Israel around the Sea of Galilee. And so, my dear friend, you can see in a moment, we all had a fall represented by Mephibosheth, 2 Samuel chapter 4. We all had a call represented by Shmuel in 1 Samuel chapter 3. And all of us who have responded to the call of God are now to learn from this boy who gave his all for the service of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. And so in verse 10 to verse 14, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, he gave a solution using this boy's lunch to meet the need of the multitude surrounding the Sea of Kinneret, the Sea of Galilee. And so you notice how in verse 10 we read, he said in verse 10, "Make the man sit down. Make the man sit down." Here's the beginning of the answer of the Lord. Have everybody to sit down. Very interesting, because it says in verse 10b that there was much grass in that place. So the men sat down, and notice the number was about 5,000 men. Can you imagine? All these men, 5,000 men, sitting there on those mountains in the Galil. And what is fascinating in reading this verse, because it says here there was much grass in the place. And it's kind of unusual, because if you walk today in the Galil and the mountains, there's not much grass. It's very hilly, and there's very, you might say, almost little grass. But nevertheless, Scripture tells us there was much grass. In other words, the Lord, you might say, provided a place for the multitude to sit down. And so in verse 10, he set the people down. He says there was much grass, green grass, for the people to sit and rest and prepare to be fed by the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. Then we continue in verse 11. Notice what Yeshua does. He using this boy's lunch. The very boy that had only 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, he took the loaves, verse 11, and he had given thanks. He had given thanks. And he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fish as much as they would. Now, beloved brothers and sisters, if there is any miracle that one can evidently see, is happening right here. 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. What are they among so many? But God, the Son, the Mashiach, the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, He can use anything that any boy or any girl or any man or any woman will give for Him in order to bless multitude. And so, He gave thanks. So beautiful to see. He gave thanks. Given thanks. He gave thanks. We read the importance of Him sharing with God the Father, giving thanks to God. And immediately, you notice, what does He do? As He finished to give thanks, He began to distribute to the disciples. And the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, delight to use the disciples in service. And these disciples, including Philip, including Andrew, those that initially says, you know, we have only 200 pence, it's not enough. Or we have this boy that has 5 loaves and 2 fish, but really what it is among so many, where the Lord is using these disciples and the rest of His disciples, and He helped them to see that if they trust Him, He can meet their need. And so He distributed to them, and they distributed to the rest that sat down, and in likewise He gave thanks for the fish, and gave it to the disciples, and they gave it to the multitude. And can you just imagine, from this little lunch, you might say lunch bag or lunch box, Yeshua was taking it out from there, giving to the disciples, and they gave to the multitude, and the more come out, more are there, and more are there. Can you just imagine what is going on here? Remind us of the first miracle, that the water turned into wine. It created wine out of nothing. Here He created, Yeshua the Creator, He created bread and fish to meet the multitude. Again, to remind you, in John 1 verse 3, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made which was made. He made all things. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. He is the creator of the universe, the creator of all things, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. And so, as He creating this and He giving to the disciples the bread and the fish, and it comes again out of the baskets, out of the lunchbox, and it comes out and more out and more out, and the multitudes are fed. And you notice here that we read that there were 5
5,000 men, only 5,000 men. Can you imagine to meet the need of 5,000 men? Who can fathom? How can 5,000 men be fed by the Lord using these 5 loaves and 2 fish? This is fascinating as we read this passage together. In fact, if you go to chapter 14 of the Gospel of Matthew, we find out there was, according to verse 21, and they that have eaten were about 5,000 men, beside, verse 21, women and children. In other words, in addition to the 5,000 men that sat down, there was women and there were children. So we can just imagine, my dear friend, that there must have been some 15, 20, 25,000 individuals that Yeshua had met their need of hunger during the time when he was in the Galil with his disciples. He gave thanks and he distributed unto his disciples the bread and the fish, and they all were fed. And you notice now, as we continue to read, he commanded the disciples to gather, verse 12, he says, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Now, it's interesting because he said that nothing be lost. Well, if he created all things, there's nothing could be lost, because after all, even if they were lost, he can create more. But there's a great lesson, because immediately in verse 13, therefore they gathered them together and they filled another 12 baskets of fragment, the 5 barley loaves which remain, over and above unto them that had eaten. So Yeshua, not only that he have met the need of these some 15 to 25,000 individuals in the north of Israel, but there were 12 baskets left, 12 baskets left that remain from the feeding of these multitude. And there are many lessons that we can learn from this passage, because 12 baskets often represent the number 12 in biblical history, represent really the 12 tribes of Israel, and how when the Lord is one day going to restore the nation of Israel to himself, he is going to restore the 12 tribes of Israel. None of them will be lost. You know, some people say that there are 10 lost tribes. But beloved friend, dear brothers and sisters, there are no such a thing as 12 lost tribes to God. God knows who are those 12 tribes, and he will restore the nation of Israel in a future day, as he right now meet the need of these people in the land of Israel, feeding the thousand in the land of Israel. In fact, James, Yaakov, who wrote in his epistle, he wrote in James 1:1, Yaakov, James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus the Messiah, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. He was writing to the 12 tribes of Israel. So with this number 12 of the remaining bread from the feeding of the multitude in 12 baskets is a representation of the future restoration of the people of Israel, that none of them will be lost. And eventually, after the tribulation period, he will restore the nation of Israel to himself. And so this is an amazing thought that we have here before us. Now, verse 14, of course, tells us the confession of the people. Notice what the people said. Then those men, when they had eaten, they had seen the miracles that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world.
You see, they understood somewhat with the promises of God that God had promised that in the future day he will raise up a prophet that Israel was to listen to him and to accept him. In the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 18 and verse 15, we read, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him shall ye hearken." In verse 18, Moshe emphasizes this when he is now saying to these people of Israel, "I will raise them up," you see, "by the mouth of the Lord, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee. God said, I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him." Well, indeed, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is that prophet that should come into the world. To remind you, there was an anticipation of that prophet to come by the nation of Israel. In chapter 1 of the same Gospel of John, verse 21, they asked John, Yohanan, this is John the Baptizer, "What then, are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you that prophet?" And John the Baptizer said, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we should give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest of thyself, you?" And John the Baptizer said, "I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And so indeed, that prophet has come, and that prophet is the Messiah himself. I would like to remind you, my dear friend, that the Lord Jesus is the Anointed One, HaMashiach in Hebrew, the Christ in the Greek, HaMashiach, the Messiah. And the Messiah means that he is the Anointed One. In his life, he was the Anointed Prophet. In his death and resurrection and ascension, he is now the High Priest. And when he is going to come at his second coming to restore Israel to himself, he will be that King, that Anointed King. He is the prophet, he is the priest, and he is the King. In his life, he was the prophet. In the present day age in which we live in, he is the great high priest. In his second coming, he will be the King of kings and Lord of lords. And so back to our chapter. Now that we have seen that the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, met the needs of some between 5 to 25,000 who were hungry and who needed to eat, and he provided for them. He literally created. He created out of the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fish. He created food to meet the need of thousands of people. Now, after doing so, he is going to leave the multitude and he is going to go now up into the mountain to be alone. And why did he do so? As we learn here from verses 15 to 21, why? Because when Jesus, verse 15, therefore perceive that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into the mountain himself alone. Now notice that. Why Yeshua perceived that they were going to make him a king? Because they recognized, because they saw the miracle. And they wanted him now to reign as king. But again, my dear friend, they did not understand. Like you and I don't understand. And you and I would have never understand unless the Holy Spirit of God will explain this unto us. That before Yeshua is going to be the king, he must be the lamb. Before he is going to reign, he must first suffer and die.
the sufferings of the Messiah and the glory that should follow. And so indeed, my dear friend, they wanted him to become king, and therefore he perceived that they would want to take him by force and make him a king. So he departed and he left them, and he went to be alone upon a mountain where he would have fellowship with God the Father. You know, I just wanted to remind you that the prophet Zechariah prophesied concerning the Messiah who would come to this world and who is indeed the King of Israel. It says in Zechariah chapter 9 and verses 9 and 10, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy King cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." So in other words, you see that? The prophet Zechariah was proclaiming to the daughter of Zion, to the daughter of Jerusalem, "Thy king cometh. He comes to you. He is a just king. He will provide salvation, but he must come first in lowliness, lowly and riding upon a donkey, upon a colt, the foal of an ass." And then we read in verse 10, there we see him indeed coming as a king to rule and reign, because he first came in lowliness, riding upon a donkey. But then we read in verse 10, "I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace, shalom, unto the heathen, and his dominion," a king, "his dominion shall be from sea to sea and from river, even to the end of the earth." You see, the Messiah will be the one that will come once lowly, providing salvation, becoming the Passover lamb, and then he will come a second time to become a king. So Yeshua knew very well that he must die first. And so when he saw that they wanted to come and to take him by force and to make him a king, what does he do? He departed again into the mountain by himself alone. Verses 15. And how wonderful it is that he is the one that was going to be the king, and he will be the king in the future day, but he first came to suffer and to die. And you know, my dear friend, he will never take his place as a king before he becomes the lamb. He is the Lamb of God, which takes upon himself the sin of this world. It's wonderful to know that he will come in his second coming and be the king, but it sure is wonderful to know that he became the lamb that took upon himself the sin of this world. And so we read in verse 16 on of this sixth chapter of John, when even was now come, and his disciples went down into the sea. You see, the disciples was now that he left them and went alone to the mountain. They were going on the sea of the Galilee, and they crossing to the other side. And you notice what it says in verse 17, that the disciples now seek to cross to Kfar Nahum, because it says, "And entered into a ship and went over the sea towards Kfar Nahum, and it was now dark, and Yeshua was not come to them." So they were crossing the river, they were crossing to the other side, to Kfar Nahum, to the village of Nahum, and then it was dark now at night. And now notice verse 18, "And the sea arose by reason of the great wind that blew." Imagine, it's an evening, and the sea is rising, and there is it's windy, and waves, and here we see, beloved friend, how the Lord is now not only meeting the need of the multitude to follow after him, now he meet the need of his disciples. And we learn in verse 19,
And we see here, and when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they rowed, they trying to get further and further and further, not, you know, about maybe half a kilometer. They are continuing to try to get to the other side. And then guess what we see as they are trying to get themselves out of their problem, out of the wind and the waves in the Sea of Galilee. Though it's a lake, it's a small lake, and yet when the wind comes, it causes on the Sea of Galilee to have all waves and the movement of the water. And then the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is coming to aid them and to help them in their trouble. You can read this in Matthew chapter 14, when you can see how afraid the disciples were in that situation on the Sea of Galilee. We read in Matthew chapter 14, in connection with the Sea of Galilee, you read that when the disciples were there, the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. They tried to go to Kfar Nahum, but the wind was so strong that the boat was tossing to and fro. But the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, came there to aid his own disciples. In verse 19 we read, they see Jesus walking on the sea. Notice it says walking on the sea, not only walking on the water, but walking on the sea. And the sea represents before us the multitude, typically the multitude of nations. The Lord Jesus, the Messiah, God the Son, is in charge of all that which is going on in this world. He's walking on the Sea of Galilee, and he is ministering and meeting the need of his disciples. And drawing nigh unto the ship, they were afraid. But he said unto them, so beautiful, it is I, be not afraid. Yeshua said to his disciples, it is I. You know, sometimes in a time of fear in our life, we are afraid because there are various storms that come our way, beloved brothers and sisters. How many a times we cry to the Lord for help? And here we see that the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, encouraging the disciples. It is I, be not afraid, he's saying to his disciples. Doesn't it remind us what God said to Israel in Isaiah chapter 43? But now thus says the Lord, verse 1, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, and Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say unto the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Amazing, my dear friend. You see, these disciples and you and I today as believers who are part in the body of Messiah, the body of Christ, we are precious in his heart, in his eyes. He loves his own. He loves the believers. He loves everyone that have trusted in him. Wherever you are, every believer in the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is a disciple. He's a Talmid of Christ, the Talmid of the Messiah. And he's saying to these disciples there on that Sea of Galilee with all the waves and the wind and the fear, he says, it is I, be not afraid. He's encouraging the disciples.
And notice what we read in verse 21. And he says, then they willingly received him into the ship. And notice that here's the Creator calmed the storm. And immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Immediately, no delay, immediately the water was still and they safely arrived to the village of Kfar Nahum. And the lesson is for us, my dear friend, dear brothers and sisters, you and I who are disciples of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, yes, in this world there are many tribulations, many trials, but we can get encouraged by the Lord Jesus the Messiah, who said to the disciples, and he's saying to you and I today, it is I, be not afraid. It is so precious when I read that in the Hebrew, it says, Ani hu al tira'u, Ani hu al tira'u. It is I, be not afraid. And who is this one? Who is the one who said it is I? This is the Son of God, Jesus the Messiah, the Creator of all things, of whom we read in John 20, verse 31, these miracles that he have done are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Beloved brothers and sisters and dear friend, may the Lord encourage our hearts, and may the Lord draw us to follow after him and to be thankful for whatever he provided for us here in this world. Well, God bless you. And until the continuation, until the next session, we wish you all blessings of the Lord. And I would like to say to you all, Shalom, Shalom.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.